From the VOA News Center in Washington, I'm Frances Alonzo. Prehistoric creatures have long captivated us with their unusual bodies and physical features, their unfamiliar habits and strange habitats, coming to life only in our imaginations and in the movies. But a study released in June's issue of Geology dispels a widely held belief of the frigidly harsh Arctic environment these mammals were believed to have endured. Their environment may have been instead hot, lush, dark, and swampy.
Today's Arctic is cold, icy, polar bears, things like that, whereas the Arctic in the early Eocene, about 53 million years ago, was swampy. It was covered in trees, and it was fairly warm temperature, so warm, humid, swampy environment.
Jalen Eberle is a curator of fossil vertebrates at the University of Colorado's Museum of Natural History and the study's chief author.
Based on our study in geology, some of the mammals probably overwintered in the high Arctic in the early Eocene and would have been able to withstand months of continuous darkness during the winter.
What did these animals look like, and can you tell us what would we have seen during their migrations?
Well, they did not migrate, but what they did do, they stayed up in the high north, and the Eocene High Arctic looked very different from today. It would have been warm, lush, and treed, and in terms of the animals that lived there, some of them are animals that we no longer have with us. That is, they are extinct. In particular, the chief mammal in the study is something called Coryphodon, which was a hippo-like mammal, semi-aquatic, so he would have hung out a lot in the swamps, eating aquatic plants, and a fairly large mammal. We also have mammals called brontotheres, which are rhinoceros-like extinct mammals that lived in the high Arctic at this time. They also lived at mid-latitudes during the early Eocene. And then we have groups that are a little closer to home. For example, we had tapirs, which would be long-distant cousins of today's tapirs, albeit a bit smaller than today's tapirs that we see roaming around the Earth, but nevertheless in the same family or superfamily. There were primates living in these trees, things that have been considered Dermoptera or the flying lemurs of today, or that name. Rodents, and a variety of carnivores as well, tromping around these forests. In terms of non-mammalian animals, there were alligators, giant tortoises, not unlike the giant tortoises you see in the Galapagos Islands today, as well as snakes and a variety of turtles, other kinds of turtles, aquatic turtles, such as pond turtles.
What did you study to determine all of this?
It's a matter of looking at the fossils and identifying those fossils, comparing those fossils with animals that lived at mid-latitudes at that time. In terms of understanding how these animals behaved, that is, whether they migrated or not, what they may have eaten while they were up in the high Arctic in the summer, in the winter, and so forth, that's work that we've done using stable isotope analyses, specifically looking at carbon predominantly, as well as oxygen-stable isotopes. Carbon isotopes, the old saying, you are what you eat, works for carbon isotopes. That is, the carbon signature that's preserved or frozen in the teeth of these mammals is carbon that has come from their diet. And so by looking at the ratios of carbon isotopes in their teeth, we can get an idea of what these animals were eating.
What conclusions can we draw from your study?
Well, there are a few conclusions, Frances. First of all, when these animals lived in the high Arctic, that was the height of global warming in all of Cenozoic time, that is, since the extinction of the dinosaurs, some 65.5 million years ago. And importantly, the early Eocene marked a time when many modern mammalian orders appeared on the scene. For example, the true primates, as well as ungulate mammals, which today include the artiodactyls, or cloven-hoofed mammals, and the perissodactyls, which would include horses, rhinos, and tapirs of today. Well, we see these modern orders of mammals appear in the early Eocene, and the primary hypothesis is that they dispersed into North America across northern high-latitude land bridges, for example, Beringia, from Asia. Now, in order for these mammals to have dispersed from Asia into North America, one of the behavioral prerequisites would be that these mammals ought to have been able to live at high latitudes year-round. After all, if you're going to disperse from, say, mid-latitude Asia up north across a northern high-latitude land bridge such as Beringia and then back down into mid-latitude North America, that isn't something that's going to happen in a single season. That's a fairly great distance. In order for these mammals to be able to disperse these fairly good distances, the behavioral prerequisite was that they could live up there. They could live year-round in the north in proximity to these northern high-latitude land bridges. So the isotope study that's published in Geology provides some of the first evidence, if not the first evidence, for animals living year-round in the high Arctic during the early Eocene. Second, we're in a period of global warming. What better time to understand and to be able to predict the impacts of global warming than to go back in time to a period of global warming? The early Eocene marked the height of global warming since the extinction of the dinosaurs 65.5 million years ago, and as such, it provides a deep-time laboratory for understanding the biotic impacts of today's global warming and being able to predict what might be in store for us as global warming continues on into the future.
Jalen Eberle is a curator of fossil vertebrates at the University of Colorado's Museum of Natural History and the study's chief author. I'm Frances Alonso, VOA News, Washington.